Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
Richard Marx. Didn't he do something on an airline a couple years ago that saved somebody's life or something?
Zip ties and tape.
Oh, that's right. He didn't save somebody's life. He stopped an idiot. Apparently, the Chiefs playoff game Sunday, last Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, was a damn highly rated game. Despite the Chiefs cruising to a 42-21 win over the Steelers, NBC said that game, which included two relatively small markets in the NFL, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, had 29 million viewers, which made it TV's most watched primetime show since the last Super Bowl.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Second only to the Super Bowl.
For the year.
Wow.
18 years of Big Ben fans wanting to see his last hurrah.
Mm-hmm. If you factor in people who are watching on digital platforms, Telemundo and the Peacock Network, it jumps from 29 million to 30.5 million people.
Wow.
Dang. It peaked, total viewership peaked at 34 million Americans who tuned in between 8:30 and 8:45. I'm trying to think, what time did that game start? That was a late game. That was 7:15 game. So that would be the end of the first quarter, or first half. In Kansas City, Danny, you understand these TV ratings better than I do. In Kansas City, the game had a 50.5 rating and an 80 share. 80 share in Kansas City.
Meaning almost all of the TVs that were turned on were tuned to that. 8 out of 10.
For NBC's other weekend game, the Bengals game over the Raiders, Kansas City was the sixth highest rated market for that one, too. Doing better than Las Vegas, where the Raiders play. More people in Kansas City watched the Raiders lose than people in Vegas watched the Raiders lose.
Awesome.
I hope we like to see the Raiders lose, that's for sure.
Story here from the Post about Elton John. The Rocket Man is back, and he is better than ever, they say. 2 years after hip surgery and a plethora of COVID-19 and other health delays, Elton John has resumed his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour.
He'll be here in 2 weeks.
You got tickets?
I'm waiting for the night before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because do you know something that I don't?
Buying tickets to events that then don't happen. And then there's the whole, you got to call your credit card. You got to call. I'm just waiting, and I would like to go, but I want him here in town, on the ground. We're ready to go, and then I'll
go.
Do
you have a line on tickets?
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did?
Technically, he's not standing for these shows.
He is seated at his piano where he belongs.
Get it? Because it was hip surgery? Sorry.
I'm still standing.
74 years old. Back on the road, he played in New Orleans last night.
Yeah. What?
Nothing. I've never seen Elton John. I would certainly not be opposed to going to see him play.
God, it's good.
But man, is it me or is this farewell tour crap that a lot of these acts are doing getting a little bit? I mean, Kiss has been on a farewell tour for 22 years.
This is it.
He's done.
It's the farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. Yes.
I remember 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever it was, going to see Motley Crue on their last ever tour.
Yes.
Guess who's going to be here next summer? Motley Crue.
Well, I think Elton is 74 two growing young boys. I really do believe this is it. Is his last show in London?
I believe so.
That's my
so.
Guess.
I believe it.
That's the ticket that's going to be bajillions of dollars.
Yeah, well, Kiss said theirs was going to be in New York, and they're still touring. The tour this year will span North America, Europe, back to North America. Then he goes to Australia and New Zealand next year.
Yeah.
See, this is the farewell tour with no end.
Well, it takes a while to say farewell.
His tour will then take him to Europe, back to North America. Jeez Louise. His final leg in North America, where he will put on more than 40 concerts, will be at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles as a way to pay homage to his appearance there in 1975.
Okay. A farewell longer than trying to leave an Italian family dinner.
Wow. Okay. A story here from CNN. We've been talking about this for months. Apparently, it has happened. This is from CNN Business. With the trucking industry facing a shortage of qualified drivers, the United States government is now setting up an apprenticeship program for young truckers. This new program that they established yesterday, I believe it was, will allow people as young as 18 to drive big rigs across state lines. The new program is coming online as the industry complains of driver shortages, which have only gotten worse during the pandemic. Last October, the head of the American Trucking Association said the agency, the industry, needed about 80,000 more drivers. But safety advocates are objecting to this program, which lowers the age in which a big rig trucker can drive over state lines from 21 to 18. Now, people will tell you, we let 18-year-olds or 19-year-olds or 20-year-olds drive a big rig from Olathe to Wichita.
Yeah, we also let them go to war.
But we can't let them drive from Olathe to Belton.
Yes, you start to see the problem in a state line community.
Most certainly you do.
But is the shortage so bad?
80,000 truckers.
That they will hire them here and just say, look, we'll only have you drive the routes that are on this side, and if you got to go east, we'll tap another driver for that. My issue isn't necessarily with the state line, Scott. It's with the age and the training and all of those things. I think 18, ooh, man, that seems young. But
we'll trust them to drive from here to Topeka, but not a shorter distance.
Would we ever hire an 18-year-old pilot?
I don't know.
I believe the answer is no.
576-7798. I know a lot of you in this audience are in the trucking community. I know that because a lot of you call in. And most of you, if not all of you, are on the roads next to big rigs all the time. The government has lowered, they're going to start this apprenticeship program, which will now make it legal for people younger than 21 to drive big rigs interstate, across state lines, in essence. There is a shortage. Do not extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures?
Now, you can fly a solo flight at 17 years old. You can acquire a commercial pilot certificate as young as 18 years old, but most major airlines will not allow you to fly unless you're 21 or older.
Well, I guarantee you this. If I'm getting on a plane and I look over and Doogie Howser is behind the controls.
But Doogie Howser would be sitting next to a more experienced captain.
Let's hope.
That's how that works, because I have a friend whose son is a pilot. You don't just show up and say, hey, I finished my training, let's go.
Well, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, but with trucking, I don't know that would be feasible.
You'd be on your own.
Maybe I would feel better if the 18-year-old were in the passenger seat for 6 months, you know, riding around with a more experienced driver.
And I think that's what's happening. This is an apprenticeship program that once you graduate from the apprenticeship program or whatever, at 18 or 19, you're free to go interstate with your big rig.
We have a ton of 18-year-olds in the military system, and who do you think drives those gigantic military vehicles around?
576-7798. 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain.
Somebody in the text line, 8833, says, pay the drivers more, and there wouldn't be a shortage of drivers. I ask out of ignorance. I always thought, especially the interstate over the road truckers, got paid decently. If I'm wrong, then correct me. There was, though, I think, not to do the back in our day, there was a romanticism that used to go with being an over the road trucker.
All those movies in the 80s? Golly. Are you kidding me?
Any Which Way But Loose. And,
well, and all the songs about it, like the one I just played, and Convoy.
Convoy from the 70s. Yeah. Back in the late 70s and 80s.
The arm wrestling one?
Cobra?
No. With Sylvester Stallone over the top?
Yes. there was an incredible romantic feeling or theme in America about over-the-road trucking that I don't know is there anymore. The old-timers could probably help us out on that. Robert in Kansas City. Hello, Robert. Robert.
Hello.
Line 4 is screwy today, Sam. I don't know what's going on. Mark in Lynn Valley. Mark, hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Go ahead, my friend.
They put them guys, the 18-year-olds, if they send them to, like, trucking school, they teach them, and then when they get to the job that they're going to work, those guys put them through hell to make sure they can do it, and the ones that can't do it, they kick them out the door, and the ones that can, they put on the road.
When you hear the term apprenticeship program, which is what the government launched yesterday for 18-year-olds to do interstate, when you hear apprenticeship program, what does that say to you? How long?
Oh, it can go from 2 weeks to a month and a half or 2 months. They make sure those guys know what they're doing. They don't. I used to have a friend that when he was real young, I'm almost 60 years old, and this guy, he's younger than me, but he actually made it through it, and he was a joker. And he drove for a long time after he got through his apprenticeship. They really work them. They teach them to back up and how to shift the gears and, you know, make sure they can do the job.
Okay. All right. Got a loud dog in there. Robin in Basser. Robin, hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
How you doing?
We're doing well.
This is kind of redundant, probably, considering the last caller, but I just want everybody to know that I believe that if these kids – I shouldn't say kids, if these young men and women, 18 and older, are given the proper training, we send them to war, we let them drink, we let them do all these things.
Yeah.
I see no reason why they shouldn't be able to drive trucks, and we really need them.
But we don't let them drink.
Well, you're right. You're right. Not at 18. So, not anymore.
So that's a good point, Robin, and that was all tied to highway funding back during, I think it was Reagan's administration that they did that, where they wanted the drinking age raised to 21. Yes, at age 18, can you be responsible enough to drive a big rig? Okay, sure. Then why are you not responsible enough to have a beer?
I don't have a problem with it, actually.
Well, I don't either, but the government has decided 21 is the age. So if 21 is the age to have a beer, why would we let an 18-year-old drive a big rig? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Maybe put them both at 18 and be done with it. And I love the argument, and we were going to have somebody on who was in the military, that we will allow 19, 20-year-old men and women incredible control over very expensive vehicles.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, if I look over in traffic and there's a 19-year-old kid, and I say kid, I don't mean that disparagingly. If there's a 19-year-old person, man or woman, 20-year-old, I don't know that I would be any more nervous about that than if I looked over and saw a 70-year-old man or woman behind the wheel of a truck. Granted, with age comes experience, but also heart attacks. Let's go to Nicole in Kansas City. Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Oh, so I was talking about the 18-year-old truck drivers. I used to work in truck insurance, so I'm pretty familiar with the lack of experience leading to accidents. And I think that there's a lot of other regulations that could be eased up on that maybe would even bring people out of retirement, like ELDs and things of that nature. So putting people with no experience on the road in an emergency situation doesn't seem like the most responsible thing. I would think maybe looking at the existing regulations that could be a little bit eased up on.
Okay.
Okay.
When we get back, my husband just posted this, and I had no idea why the cold weather right now that we're all grumbling about, that we're paying for now because it was so nice in December, is leading to an increase in all kinds of ailments that you might not have thought about. And not just I'm out shoveling snow, heart attack risk goes up. Other ailments are on the rise because it is so cold.
All right, we'll get to that much more after a quick break for the news. She's
booking
Dana.
My flight right now.
I'm Scott. You're on KMBZ.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Woke up cold one Tuesday. I'm looking tired and feeling quite sick. I felt like there was something.
We'll get to Dana's story here in just a moment. Tina Turner and her longtime partner, now husband, Erwin Bach, have bought a lakeside home in Switzerland. You know, they moved to Switzerland years ago. It is their weekend retreat. Their weekend retreat is 10 buildings, $76 million. For a weekend retreat on Lake Zurich.
I read a meme to Scott off the air that I thought was very funny today, and it said, I'm looking for someone to help clean my beach house, and I need a beach house and the money to buy a beach house.
Right, right, right. A story your husband posted?
Yeah. What is, I, as long as I've been in this town covering the news and the weather, I don't know that I knew this. He just posted through, well, was it Bender that posted it, Scott? Or Neville, pardon me, Miller, who basically said because of the plunging temperatures, the high pressure system that is parked over us, that if you have arthritis or sinus issues or migraine issues, they are exploding right now.
Oh, yeah. Barometric pressure.
Yeah. The high pressure, I understand with the migraine and I guess sort of with the sinus.
And arthritis.
But
absolutely.
I always wondered if it was an old wives' tale that my mom, she broke her kneecap when she was roller skating at Starlight Skate Center in Topeka many years ago. She will say that when it's about to rain, her knees just kill her. And I believe her. I mean, she's said it for years. I have always associated that more with a storm coming because of my mom than with it's so cold out we all feel like we're going crazy right now.
From the Mayo Clinic, and this is just regarding the migraines that you were mentioning, some people who have migraines appear to be more sensitive to changes in the weather, which include extreme heat or extreme cold.
Okay.
Barometric pressure changes, obviously.
I have had a headache all week.
Dry air is a major component in the migraine diagnosis. High humidity even. So high humidity or really dry air.
Have you ever had a migraine? And most people call a bad headache a migraine. It is not. It's not the same thing.
Have I ever had a migraine?
Yes. A true migraine.
I don't know, but I've never had a serious headache. I rarely get headaches. I would say I get a headache once every 5 years.
So I would tell you the answer is no if you're like, if you're having to think about it. It has happened to me twice. It is the most, I'm afraid of it ever happening again.
It's debilitating.
It is the most debilitating. It felt like a knife in my skull. I did throw up. It made me vomit. It was true about the lights. You got to turn off the lights. And there was nothing that I could do to make it go away. And it was when I was in my 30s, child rearing, bearing years.
How many times?
Two.
Some women, and I'm not trying to get you, sometimes it's with their cycle.
I wish I had the dates written down and what was going on with my life at the time. I wasn't pregnant. I remember that. But it happened twice, about 2 years apart. I will never forget it. And I'm terrified of it happening again.
My roommate had a migraine all day yesterday. When I woke up and came out into the living room, he was on the couch. When I got home, he was still there.
It'll bring you to your knees if you've never. So for those of you listening, like, oh, I've had a bad headache. That is not what this is. This was a, I think I'm dying. The pain was so bad, I threw up.
Kelly gets them sometimes to the point where she'll vomit.
Yeah. Does she have medication for it? There are some things that you can take.
Prescription medication. I mean, she'll. Obviously, you have to turn the lights off. She'll cold compress her head.
Yeah.
There are times where she does get so violent, not so violent, where she will get.
The pain is so bad.
She'll vomit. And one thing that she has me do that apparently helps her a lot is just take my middle finger, my thumb, put them on opposite sides of her temple.
And just start
and
pinching.
Just squeeze.
Yep.
And just hold my hand there and squeeze on her forehead for a couple of minutes.
Those two examples that I've had in my life are enough for me. If I meet someone who suffers from migraines or has migraines, you have my utmost respect, sympathy, empathy, understanding. There's no way you could go to work.
Well, I won't say any
no
name.
Way.
I won't say any names. We had a lady in the newsroom, damn good anchor and reporter, this was years ago, who would get migraines on a regular basis. And for her, they were debilitatingly bad. And to the point, I remember it was like once a week or twice a week. And I just remember thinking to myself, how do you live with that sort of just discomfort, pain?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think if it was happening regularly, my assumption would be I got a brain tumor in there. There's something going on in my head. But sometimes people just, that's your thing. And I'm so sorry for you if that's your thing.
I got a lot of problems, but headaches not
ain't one of them.
I like I said to you, I'll get a headache once every 5 years, and it lasts for maybe an hour.
Yeah.
From the text line, I get a migraine every time I turn on this show.
Well,
welcome.
Ba-doom boom.
Jerk. Mean person.
Mean person, jerk person.
Talk to Jesus with that mouth. A doctor in Alaska, this is according to the USA Today. Man, here we go. A doctor in Alaska who authorities say wrote more than 20,000 opioid prescriptions in 6 years was sentenced to nearly 3 years in prison after he illegally prescribed drugs resulting in the death of five patients.
Only five?
David Chisholm, 64 years old, pleading guilty in June of last year to unlawful dispensing and distribution of a controlled substance, charged as a felony. He was required to surrender his state medical license. He was fined $25,000, sentenced to nearly 3 years in prison.
Okay.
Chisholm is accused of illegally prescribing his patients thousands of opioid pills, including OxyContin, methadone, hydrocodone, morphine, fentanyl.
Yep.
At his medical practice in Wasilla, Alaska.
I did the math. 20,000 prescriptions in 6 years is roughly 3,300 prescriptions a year. Divided into the months, he was writing almost 280 prescriptions per month.
Okay. So that's
and
actually,
how big is that town?
Wasilla is where Sarah Palin's from, you may remember. I believe it's a town of about 6,000 people outside
That's where
Anchorage.
We have a problem. The population is 9,000.
9,000, okay.
Okay, so teeny tiny. So you might be thinking, well, you know, 300 prescriptions a month. You know, if you run some huge clinic in the heart of Kansas City, might not seem like a big number. There are only 9,000 people in that town. Okay, so you have to know, Scott, not all 9,000 need Oxy. A lot of that 9,000 is going to be children. So really, when you look at the adult population of Wasilla, let's say between the age of 30 and 50.
He had 350 patients, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that makes it worse. So he had 350 patients. He was basically writing one prescription a month per patient. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. But is that many? I ask,
in
I don't know.
One practice, every single person in your practice basically needing Oxy? No. He's a pill mill.
He also prescribed combinations of the drugs, increasing the likelihood of drug abuse and overdoses.
What year does it say?
I had it here.
Because
earlier.
We know better today. 10 years ago, we were all scammed into prescribing this stuff.
His patients died between the 2016 and 2018.
Okay.
According to the case.
Is it unusual for a...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, you're right. Prosecutors also accused, sorry to interrupt, Chisholm of writing prescriptions under multiple variations on patients' names, allowing them to avoid raising red flags when they went to refill them.
Yeah, because they were addicted.
At one point, Walmart even refused to continue filling the prescriptions that he wrote.
Isn't your name Bob? No, it's Rob.
In response,
Ron?
In response, he told his staff, send them to other pharmacies.
And how much do you want to bet he was getting kickbacks for writing that many? He was probably the number one doctor in that whole big United States.
What was
going on trips?
What was that documentary you told me to watch and I haven't gotten around to it?
You have to watch it. It's with Michael Keaton.
Oh, it's a docudrama.
It is one of the best docudramas I've ever watched, and it explains.
And they profiled him and that show on 60 Minutes.
It explains the fraud that led to the unleashing of the opioid epidemic in America. It's called Dope Sick.
Dope Sick, that's right.
Run, do not walk. And look, if you're one of those people looking for a happy, tidy ending, you're not going to get it. It is a devastating look at how it happened and the lies that were told in the marketing to bring that drug to everyday America. And he's going to win a ton of awards for it, by the
good,
way.
Good. 576-7798. 576-7798. Don't forget, tomorrow, this time, we will be knee-deep in Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances that is brought to you every week by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. Quick break, 576-7798. The guy, I want to say he's up in the Northeast somewhere, who got the pig's heart transplant.
Yeah.
And there were some questions about his past and obviously a violent past from 30 years ago that he had been arrested for and done some time for. That may have just been the tip of the iceberg, not in that case.
I love this
story.
But just
in the direction that science is moving and medical science and quickly, down at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, they have just started a clinical trial involving kidney patients. For those of you who have kidney issues or know someone, and many of you do, who have kidney issues, maybe in need of a transplant, they are making progress down in Alabama, in Birmingham, at the university there. They have, they're using a patient who happens to be brain dead.
Yep.
And they have just implanted, transplanted, whatever you want to call it, a pig's kidney, genetically altered, into this brain dead patient to see how he reacts.
And, well, it's I should not rephrase, the first how his body time reacts. This has happened. I want to say 2 months ago, Scott, we had a story in the stack that was similar where a patient was brain dead. They asked the family's permission.
It was in New York.
It was in New York. Yep. Can we try this and put the organ in and see what happened? And they said yes. And in this case, they said yes. As long as you have the family's permission, this is a solution to me medically to move the ball forward when it comes to these types of transplants.
The one that you're referring to several months ago, I believe it was in September, that was at New York University.
Yep.
And also involving a brain dead patient, but they never put the kidney in the body.
Oh, I thought they did.
The kidney was kept outside the body. They hooked it up, however you do that. And it started to produce urine or whatever the kidney's supposed to do. I am not a medical doctor, obviously.
Clean. It cleans the blood.
Right. This one, they actually transplanted the kidney into the body to see how it would react, the body would react. And again, if you want to look this up, this is out of the University of Alabama, Birmingham. According to the surgical team, the pig's kidneys started functioning and making urine after 23 minutes.
It's incredible. You don't have a problem with it, do you?
Oh, God, no. No, I this is what science is for, medical science is for. And no, I have no problem with it at all. I mean, if I was in dire need of a kidney, I don't care who, you know, if I don't care if it's a dog's. I'll take the kidney if it's going to keep me alive.
And this is one way to practice. I hate to say that, but that's what they're doing to see when we do this, does it work? How long does it work? Now, I think there's an ethical discussion to be had regarding the length of time you allow this experiment to go on. A lot of these cases, Scott, are, I hate to bring up motorcycle wrecks, but that's the prime candidate for a head injury for one of these cases, okay? So you say to the family, we want to try this technology, we want to see if it's going to work. It delays the funeral. It delays all of those things in the midst of your grief. I think most people would say, I would hope, that yes, you can do this. Let's try it. And he would be thrilled, and this is in this story, he would be thrilled to know that in death he is helping so many other people potentially save lives, right?
But not everybody goes from brain dead at the hospital to the mortuary. There are a lot of people who donate their bodies to science.
Yes, but I guess what I'm saying is, how long would you be comfortable letting this go on as a family member? Because it does delay all of those things that we all do when there is a sudden death. And most of these are sudden deaths.
Right.
And so I'm trying to come up in my mind with like what I would be comfortable with.
I'd be comfortable with as long as it takes.
You want your loved one to lie in a hospital bed as a guinea pig for a year?
Well, it's not. Let's go back for a second here. It may not be what I want. It may be what they wanted.
Sure.
And if they had donated their body to science for medical research, then that's their decision. It's not mine.
Yes, but this is a different type of medical research because technically your body is still functioning.
But your brain is dead.
Your brain is dead, you've but passed. You are still, the machines are making you breathe. It looks like you are alive. And I can see a scenario where a family would say he or she would be thrilled to help, but I really also don't want them laying in a hospital bed, their body, for a year while this goes on. Do you visit? I mean,
no, that would be morbid, wouldn't it?
People visit loved ones before that final decision is made all the time.
Yeah, for one last time. I mean, you don't go visit and then come back and then come back again.
Well, but this is uncharted territory.
Well, again, I go back to this may not be your decision. If this is what they had written down.
But it's so new, it is the family's decision right now. It's so new, we don't have people today saying, hey, if something happens to me tomorrow, if I get clocked in the head and I'm not coming back, go ahead and put a pig's liver in me. These are the families making this decision.
Well,
I'm just saying it's something to think about.
If this was me and my body was being used to figure out a way that, who are we kidding? It's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's millions of people around the planet could survive using pigs' kidneys. Somebody on the show said years ago, it's just your body. It's just a shell. Yeah. I used to take that more personally than I do now and think, oh my God, you know, I want to be in a casket and I want to be in a nice suit. I want to be lowered into the ground now. And then I had moved to cremation. Now I'm almost to the point where I don't care. Just please don't make me a pinata.
Okay. Well, I think there's some ethical issues there. Yeah. So yeah, that's not going to happen.
But if you want to,
could end up being a crash test dummy.
Already done that.
Well, that's wow. Not see that coming. I teed
you
that right.
You knows all
I
about that one,
don't
right
you?
I teed
that one up, didn't I?
Coming out of retirement. Scott Park's going to test another windshield.
God.
Really? Crash test dummy,
that
Dana?
That doesn't count because you have a bionic nose.
Right. We got to get out of here. Tomorrow's Festivus Friday. Your bonus hour is next. And don't forget, you can check out every minute of every hour on our podcast. You can find those at KMBZ.com or wherever you get your podcasts. On behalf of our producer today, ladies and gents, he is the finest man in all of these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good. See you tomorrow. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Here come bad news, talking this and that. Yeah. Well, give me all you got and don't hold it back. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.